To God, all-loving, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, if there is a single blot on the history of humanity, it is the buying and selling of human bodies. It is slavery. And as much as we might abhor it now, as much as it is offensive to our hearts and minds now, it has most certainly not been eradicated from the face of the earth. There is still a marketplace for human bodies. Slavery still exists. Whether it is through legal and economic systems that keep people under the thumb of the rich and powerful, limiting a person's access to justice, freedom, and the enjoyment of life, whether it is a metaphorical slavery or an actual, literal slavery of the buying and selling of actual, literal human bodies, say in the sex trade, slavery still exists. It still corrodes at the good foundation of human life and implicates every single one of us as children of God. If there's even one person out of a billion enslaved, literally or metaphorically, then none of us is free. If even one member of the body of God's great family suffers, every other member suffers with it. Slavery isn't a problem out there and, oh God, keep it away from us. No, slavery is here. And God, help us to pursue freedom and justice not only for our own hearts and bodies and those near to us, but also those hearts and bodies who are far from us. It isn't a new thing in our enlightened and, dare I say, woke society that people are offended by slavery. Our spiritual ancestors were enslaved. And it is from this offensive, degrading, and evil experience of life that their faith of God was formed. That image of God as creator of a good world way back in Genesis 1 was forged in the slave pens of Egypt and Babylon. Faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was a resistance movement opposed to the powers that took people away from their own lands. Our spiritual ancestors knew no other greater metaphor for the depravity of the human being than slavery. From this experience, an experience perhaps far removed from our day-to-day life, perhaps, was built a faith that pursued justice and peace. From the seeds of our spiritual ancestors, slavery grew a tree against all odds, nourished by the graciousness of God and the resilience of God's well-made creatures, a tree that has fed billions of human hearts, hearts that have been both literally and metaphorically enslaved. A tree grew that not only bore the fruit of freedom for actual bodies from actual slavery, but also freed hearts and minds from the oppressive ways of thinking and behaving that inspire such odious things as slavery in the first place. The enslavement of human bodies and the search for freedom is the primary metaphor running through the Holy Scriptures. From the horrific enslavement of Hagar to Abraham and Sarah to the long narrative of Joseph at the end of the book of Genesis. From the enslavement of the children of Israel to Pharaoh's economic system to their exile and enslavement by the Assyrian and Babylonian kings. Hebrew scriptures' stories begin with slavery and end with either the unfulfilled promise of freedom, as we see in some of the prophets, or the actual liberation and reestablishment of God's people, as we see in the later writings and even in the reading from Zechariah. Unless we understand this underlying narrative, unless we dare to look at the horrific, ugly reality of slavery as presented in the Hebrew Scriptures, we do not understand the New Testament. We cannot. And we certainly cannot understand the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so we turn our attention again to that great prophet Zechariah. Zechariah, a prophet who led the newly released slaves of Israel from captivity back to their homeland. You know this story of slavery, right? It is certainly one worth memorizing because it is not just the story of people long ago. It is our human story. It is your story. Right from the beginning, you can recite it with me. The liberated children of Israel leave Egypt in the great Exodus led by Moses. They wander around in a desert trying to remember who they are and finally settle in the promised land. But that promised land is not free of dangers. God's children are constantly threatened by kings stronger than they are, who eventually, in the depraved tradition of humanity, capture and exile them away from their homes into strange lands, enslaving them once again. For countless years, they live under the thumb of their captors until one day a new leader rises who sees an economic advantage to release the captives back to their own lands and give them the resources they need to rebuild their cities, an economic advantage in reparations so they can build their temples and their homes once again. Zechariah the prophet is one of those newly released slaves. And he is commissioned by God to prophesy to the newly liberated children of God. Tell them, God says to Zechariah, to flee their captivity, to get on back to their homes. Tell them, God says to Zechariah, that as they return to their land, they are also to return to me. Tell them, God says to Zechariah, that as they return to me, I will return to them. Tell them, God says to Zechariah, that I am angry at those who have enslaved you. Tell them, God says to Zechariah, that the future is good, but don't use your new liberty to perpetuate the depraved cycle of humanity. Don't enslave others. Don't oppress the widow, the orphan, the foreigner, the poor. Remember those who suffer. Show kindness to one another. Do not devise evil in your hearts. And tell them, God says to Zechariah, that if they do this, not only will they discover true and everlasting freedom for themselves, but they will break the depraved cycle of slavery for all humanity, and all the people of the earth will come and find their freedom with you. And tell them, God says to Zechariah, and this is our reading for today, that a day will come when a ruler will walk toward you. Not like the rulers of the past who came with armies and riding on war horses. No, this new ruler will come to you in peace, riding on a donkey and the colt of a donkey. This ruler will not use weapons to intimidate you, but will capture your hearts with peace. This ruler will come and rid your land with the defensive and active weapons of war, those chariots, war horses, battle bows, tanks, missiles, and semi-automatic weapons of war will be cut off. You will be free. You know, if you want to read something hopeful this week, open your Hebrew Bible to the prophet Zechariah and read through it. It is most certain that Jesus did. Jesus framed his ministry in the context of the prophet Zechariah. You remember this story. As Jesus approached Jerusalem on the last week of his life, before he was arrested and crucified, he sent his followers ahead of him and told them to bring him back a donkey with a colt. I need to enter Jerusalem like the prophet Zechariah prophesied, thought Jesus. I need to come to Jerusalem in peace. I will overcome the cycles of violence by not participating in them. I will not threaten. I will not scare. I will come just as I am, without a plea, and I, their Lord, will shed blood for thee. I will open my hands and invite the storm-tossed, conflicted, fearful children of God to come unto me, and I will give them rest. Rest from the ebb and flow of their slavery, rest from their poverty, rest from their riches, rest from their doubts, rest from their certainties. I will connect them to my yoke, my way, and they and the whole earth will be free. For I am Jesus, the Son of God, the liberator of humanity, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning of life and the end of slavery, your friend, your helper. Go and do likewise. Amen.